Welcome to the Wine with Friends podcast. Grab your glasses and get ready to pop that cork. It's time to catch up.
There we go.
Well, a fucking miracle has occurred.
Oh my God, I haven't seen your face like in the same room in over a year. It is glorious.
I almost tackled you to the floor in the elevator.
It is like, that would have been hilarious.
My God. It's so, I know it's ridiculous, but it feels like in this moment, a certain phase of the pandemic has passed. Like I'm on the upswing.
And oh my God, I've been feeling that way for the last few weeks. Because, well, ever since getting vaccinated, man, it's been good. And to like slowly ease up on, I mean, I'm still pretty strict, but just easing up a little bit and being able to see a few people like inside of places and not just like, well, now it's warm outside, but for like over the winter, freezing my behind off outdoors because I'm so desperate for human contact.
So we should say that. So we are both fully vaccinated. Yes. I got Moderna.
Yeah. I got Pfizer.
So it's all right. I got the high end one, but
whatever.
It's a joke. Get any vaccine you can. Get the Taco Bell vaccine if you can.
Including Johnson & Johnson. Please don't be scared of the 6 cases.
Yeah,
of the blood clots.
0.1%. Yes. We're both fully vaccinated. We're finally able to get together. It was very exciting. Nice to finally see you in person. Give you the present that I bought for your wedding like a decade ago.
Which I am currently using because it was a nice microphone that is now recording my voice.
It's true. I'm not recording you through Google Meet anymore. Actually have a nice microphone. And
which you'll be able to tell the difference in quality when you listen to this podcast.
For real. So yeah, so God, it's so good to see you.
Oh my God, it really is. It is just amazing. And I was impressed. I remembered how to get here. So we are at Chris's apartment, just so you all know. And I remembered how to get here. I mean, mostly. Let's be clear. I use Google Maps, but always have used Google Maps because I don't know where I'm going most of the time. But
it's true. I use Google Maps to go to a place around the corner that I can literally see from my apartment.
I want to know the best way.
It's a crutch at this point.
It really is. I know there are times where I'm like, I know how to get home. I'm going to use Google Maps anyway, because maybe it'll tell me a different way.
Exactly. So last time we chatted, you were giving us an update on you and Steve and the attempt to create a baby.
Other human life.
And you've told me when you first walked in, your uterus remains broken. So what's up?
Luckily it is, I think, healed now, but it's been an adventure. So I think at last discussion, we had our second miscarriage.
Yes.
And so that obviously sucked.
Absolutely.
And so of course we thought like that was the worst of it, that was the worst of it, but turns out my miscarriage wasn't complete. So
what does that mean?
That means there was still fetal tissue in my uterus.
Oh God.
So gosh, it was 9 weeks later. My hormone levels were still not at zero where they should have been because I had not been pregnant for 9 weeks. And I'd had a sonogram in the middle there because we're also seeing a specialist. And so I knew that there was tissue still present, but we were hoping like my body would just take care of it and it would be fine. Well, that didn't happen. So at 9 weeks, I finally was like, hey guys, I don't know a lot about all of this because, you know, not a mom, haven't been pregnant. First miscarriage was at 5 weeks. So like didn't have to deal with any of this stuff. Right.
At 5 weeks, it's kind of just like a really bad period.
Yeah, it was like a week late, right? If I hadn't been paying attention and done a pregnancy test, I probably wouldn't have known I was pregnant, right? I mean, it was a bit more painful than a normal period, but not by much, right? So whatever. But this one, I was pregnant for like 8 weeks to 10 weeks or so at that point. It depends on how long. I don't know how long my body had actually been pregnant because, you know, the baby had just stopped growing. Well, the embryo, I guess. And I don't know if you want to call it a baby yet at that point. But at 9 weeks, I was like, okay, what gives? Because I also was feeling terrible. And probably Steve was like, my wife is insane.
I mean, more than normal.
Well, I mean, more than normal. I mean, obviously I'm insane. But Yeah. So I finally was like, hey, there's gotta be something going on. And like I had other symptoms and stuff, and it was just, I just wasn't feeling good. I felt gross and just disgusting all the time. So luckily I got someone different answered my test results from the last time well, at this point I'd had blood drawn so many times that the person who draws the blood knew me by name when I would walk in and which blood test we were doing. So, you know, I'd had my blood drawn a lot, like every single week. So I finally got somebody different who responded to my blood test results. And then she was like, yeah, that's probably not normal. We should probably bring you in and do a sonogram. And then you should see a OBGYN right after to go over the results. And so sure enough, went in, did a sonogram, and they were like, yeah, absolutely. There's pregnancy tissue still there. And the doctor I saw, who I requested a different doctor than the one I had been seeing previously, who didn't seem to want to do anything, was like, I think we can safely say the observation period is over, so we should probably do surgery. So we
2.5 months after the miscarriage, I would think that it would be like really fucking obvious.
Yeah,
that
yeah, and she was like, oh, you of course have the option to. So I don't know how much detail I went into before, but I went to the emergency room because the pain got so bad with the initial miscarriage, and then I also ended up taking the pills that move it along, right? Like they're actually the abortion pills. But apparently they didn't really do their job. And so she was like, well, this time around you can do the pills again, or you can do surgery. You have the choice. So I chose surgery because I was like, well, I don't, she said, I'm not going to tell you which one to do, but I would strongly suggest surgery.
The pills clearly weren't
They didn't work. And she said, sometimes they will work, you know, doing another round. Sometimes you have to do multiple rounds, but, she said, at this point, you probably just want this whole thing to be done. And I said, yeah I do. So, so we got the DNC scheduled for a few days later. And it turned out she was the doctor on call that day. So she ended up doing my surgery. And I really like her a lot. So
good.
That was really, really great. So she did the surgery. And it was glorious because being knocked out on those drugs was great. I felt so well rested when I woke up and actually felt fine. Like, I know sometimes it's painful there are some like cramps and after effects. I felt fine. I had a headache because of the meds and stuff like the next day, I think. But she went out and told Steve, like, yeah, this was absolutely the right call. Like, there was a lot more in there than we thought. And so, yeah. And so after that, I mean, I swear I instantaneously felt better.
Well, I mean, it's basically like dead tissue rotting inside you.
Yeah, basically. And then
like, I know that that's really graphic, yeah, but that's functionally what it is, right?
Functionally speaking, yeah. And the thing that really what it is it was continuing to create the pregnancy hormone. And so as long as the pregnancy hormone is happening, your cycle can't start back up and you can't get pregnant again. You can't, you know, and so you just kind of always feel gross and disgusting. Yeah. And you know you're not pregnant. So it's like, and then, you know, so things that when I was pregnant, like that bothered me were still bothering me, like smells and things, because functionally, you know, my body was like, oh, you're still pregnant. So, but the hormone dropped like immediately. I went in for an appointment 2 weeks later. We did a blood test. It was gone. Thank God. So yeah. So back to normal. So then, you know, we were just waiting to make sure my body reset, and it finally has. And I also went and saw a specialist the other day. And well, so in the meantime, while this was going on, I developed a cyst because my body was like, what the F is going on with all your hormones and stuff? And that's now gone and everything looks good. And so finally things are back to normal, but it has been an adventure. So it was, I think I had the surgery 11 weeks to the day that I was supposed to originally have the surgery that we canceled because the doctor was like, I don't think it's a good idea since you went to the ER this morning and your body seems to be taking care of it, which it clearly didn't. So, but it has, it's been fun.
That's
a trip. When I say fun, I mean not fun.
Yeah.
But, I mean, overall, I think we've dealt with it pretty well. And everybody of course has been super supportive and helpful. And, you know, people brought us meals and, you know, were very supportive during all of this. So that was nice. And, you know, of course, since then I've talked to a billion people, which, okay, I might be exaggerating a little bit on the billion, but almost every woman that I've spoken to has told me that they've had a miscarriage at one point or another.
I mean, it's so surprisingly common for a thing no one talks about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really common. And actually the doctor told me that, and maybe she was trying to make us feel better, I don't know, but she said it's pretty common for women to have two, not necessarily in a row per se, but just two in the course of pregnancy adventures. So hopefully I've gotten all mine out of the way. Third time's the charm.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so it's been a fun few months. So that was, yeah, it made Christmas a little weird.
I'll bet.
Also, Christmas was weird anyway because we were here.
Yeah.
But, you know, the children have broken my heart a couple of times because, well, Lucas is just more aware of it, right? And
he's older.
He was really sad. And then, but now he's apparently rooting for me to get pregnant because he asked me if I was pregnant the other day. And I was like, no, not yet, but I'll let you know when I am.
So is there kind of like a downtime requirement to let your body recover here?
So they usually tell you to go, well, it depends on the doctor you talk to. But I think the common practice is like, let your body go through one cycle and then you can try again after that.
I feel like a lot of pregnancy and OBGYN doctoring stuff is sort of just guesswork.
That may be true. I don't know. I hope not, but yeah, I mean, well, and it's because from everything, because now I'm like the Google queen on all things pregnancy or miscarriage related, right? So some doctors will say like 3 months. And so like some people I've talked to, that's the advice they've gotten from their doctor. And some people it was just like, wait one cycle and then you can go ahead. So for me, I feel like I did both of those things because I waited 3 months because I didn't have a choice. So, but basically my doctors were like, hey, you're going to turn 40 this year. You should not wait any longer than you have to. So because, you know, my eggs are just getting older. So, and the chances of miscarriage increase the older the eggs are. So, that may be one of the reasons that this happened. I mean, the original one, I'm almost counting as like a wash. I mean, it was still emotional, but it was so early. It was this one was just more significant, obviously.
Well, yeah.
Because we knew we were pregnant for far longer. So we'll see. Hopefully third time's a charm. We are seeing a specialist, which if you were on the fence about going to see a specialist, do it because their offices are glorious.
Really?
Yeah, they are just so cush. And then also during a pandemic, they don't see as many people as a regular doctor's office does. And so I can bring my husband with me to go to the doctor.
Oh. So,
and, you know, during a pandemic, when you're having a miscarriage and you're by yourself at the doctor's office, it's not fun.
That would be traumatic.
It was horrible. Yeah, it was really awful.
Even in that dangerous and challenging of a situation, Steve couldn't come in.
He could not. Well, so he could come to the ER.
Oh.
So when I went to the ER, he came in with me, mostly because I think they were a little afraid I was going to topple over. But he was allowed at the ER, and he was allowed in for surgery. He was not ever allowed at the doctor's offices when I went for my regular pregnancy visits. So he wasn't there for the sonogram where we found out that it wasn't growing. So, yeah, nothing like crying in a mask over Google Meets. Good times.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it was awful. So, I mean, and that's not the doctor's office's fault by any means, right? There's been a whole... I'm probably being kinder than Steve would be when he talks about this whole process because it was a little frustrating because I didn't know, like the doctor's office didn't explain the process of making appointments. So like we had that sonogram and we didn't have an appointment scheduled with the doctor right afterwards because I didn't know I was supposed to make two appointments because no one ever told me that because I've never been pregnant before. Mm. And so we actually weren't scheduled to see a doctor that day. But then of course, when they found out I was going to miscarry, they were like, we're going to find somebody for you to talk to. So that was a little frustrating. And then the doctor who ended up being the one that managed kind of the miscarriage, because he happened to be the one that was on call at the ER, he's not my favorite. So mostly because I feel like he wasn't listening to me when I was telling him that there was something wrong. So I'm glad that the midwife that I ended up seeing right after that fateful sonogram was the one who answered the test results that time, or gave me the results. And so she, of course, when I was like, I have so many questions, because I knew she was going to respond. And so, and then she was the one who made the next appointment for me and explained exactly what I needed to do and the two appointments I needed to make. And yeah, so it just depends on who you see. The thing I'm noticing is that the doctors, and this is not, I'm not like disparaging doctors in any way. I mean, their job is to like deal with a lot of this medical stuff all the time. And it's like rote for them, and it's a everyday occurrence. And I think they don't totally, they're not so in tune with the fact that like, hey, this is a first for my patient. They don't know what's going on. I need to explain things, right? And so the midwives are much better at doing that, at least at the practice I go to, are way better at explaining that kind of stuff, and are much better bedside manner. Although the doctor that did my surgery was pretty great. She answered a ton of questions for me, because I was like, oh, here's my list. Because I'd had like 10 weeks to think about it. So,
So I'm curious. This is just how my brain functionally works. So I'm curious. There've been a couple of pretty high profile public figures who have talked about miscarriages and things like that of late. And I guess I'm just curious, you know, one, like, I'm so sorry that you went through this. This is horrible. And I'm wondering if you have some kind of in a similar vein to what they were trying to do with their disclosure and discussion, if there's any sort of like thing you've learned about yourself or life or some kind of takeaway that might be useful, you know, like us talking about this is like, obviously accidental pregnancy, not so much in my future. So like,
not so much, no.
Pregnancy, not so much a thing that I'm going to be intimately familiar with in any way. And it's been really helpful to hear your stories about this stuff and stuff we talked about with it, because it's at least made me feel like I can be a better friend. Mm-hmm. Friends go through this stuff. And I'm just curious, like, if you had to draw out, you know, and like some lessons you've learned or like a life experience that it's given you, like, Is there anything? There may not be. I'm just curious.
Well, I think it's solidified a couple things for me. Like, I already kind of knew that I was like a verbal processor or like someone who needed to share things with folks. And I'm not like a big secret keeper, but I think for me, it was definitely better to talk about the miscarriage than to try and keep it to ourselves. I mean, of course, this is like, until the podcast, I didn't talk to like publicly to the whole world about it, right? I haven't even posted about it on Facebook, not explicitly.
And to be clear, not that you're required to.
No. And that I think is one of the things is like, when it comes to something like this, people react in all kinds of different ways. So I by no means want people to think that you have to talk about your miscarriage if you have a miscarriage. Like, that's not a requirement. But I do wish that women talked about it more, because I wish... And maybe, like, let's not put that requirement just on women, but just in men, too. I mean, because men experience it. It's a woman's body, but, like, the men are affected by this. You know, it's not like they're exempt from the emotional impact of a miscarriage, you know? And so I think people don't talk about it very much, and there's some kind of stigma around it and, like, a sense of failure that comes with, and I think that's incorrect. And I really wish that we could find a way for that to not be true. Wish people would talk about, and I think people are. I think people are talking about it more. I mean, like, you know, Chrissy Teigen lost her baby around the same time that I did, and her baby was way further along. He was 20 weeks, I think. I definitely follow her on all the social media. That's why I know all of the details, and his name was Jack. You know, I'm glad she has been very public about her grief and talking about that. And I do wish that more people would. That by no means means that I think all women need to do that, because that is just as bad in the opposite direction of like forcing people to be open about their pain, right? But so that's one thing. And I think it has also made me think about... When I've talked to people, like, when they get married and stuff, and I'm like, when are you going to have babies? And da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's made me more cognizant of, like, hey, you don't know their journey, and maybe you shouldn't, like, push them to have kids, right? Or, like, ask the question over and over and over again, right? Because I'm experiencing that with a few people that don't know that I had a miscarriage, you know, with, they're like, I'm looking, you know, and it doesn't really bother me. It doesn't really upset me, but I can 100% see why it would upset somebody. And so I'm just being more cognizant of like the way I approach the whole pregnancy thing. In general with folks. Right. And yeah, I mean, I think
it's interesting that like an experience you went through made you more cognizant of experiences other people might be going through. That's not an insightful statement, but it's just interesting that like, that's one of the lessons you took away from it or at least one of the things you took away from it.
Well, I mean, I think it's just like now realizing, like having had my own experience with it, to know like how much that can affect you. And I'm sure I haven't dealt with all of the emotions around all of this. Right. You know, cause I'm pretty good at like, let's just move on and keep it going. And I don't always deal with things in the moment. So I'm sure there's going to be ramifications like emotionally of all of this as time goes on. And so maybe when people are bugging, you know, if I have another miscarriage or, you know, what, we can't get pregnant again or whatever, I'm sure I'll become much more sensitive to people, you know, bugging me about getting pregnant and stuff.
Yeah.
And, but sometimes I just answer honestly when someone's like, hey, are you guys pregnant yet? I'm like, no, we've been trying and it hasn't been working. And then that usually they go, oh, okay.
And scene.
Or I just do the massive overshare, as I was telling you before we started recording, that people are like, how are you doing? Well, let me tell you about my uterus. I've learned that for me, and I think I'm not going to speak for Steve, but I think he potentially has kind of learned this too, that talking to people about this has been easier than trying to keep it to ourselves, right? So we had told a good number of people this second time around. So that really sucked having to go back and tell them the bad news. But at the same time, it was good to have that support too of people who now knew what we were going through and kind of like took care of me and were like, hey, so all of these things you were supposed to do in the next few weeks, you're not going to do any of them. Other people will take care of it for you, you know? So that was really uplifting. And so, yeah. So it's been a crappy experience. It has been made much better by supportive friends and family. So.
Well, for what it's worth, one thing that, this whole experience of you sharing it with me has done for me is actually have two people on my staff who are pregnant. And it just gave me a much higher level of awareness of all of the complicated shit the two of them are going through. Helping them kind of get ready for maternity leave and plan things like that. And, you know, one of them has had to like kind of shift their hours and being just like, I discovered the act of being flexible about that is apparently rare in the world, which I think shows more about me than about her or the world. But, talking about it has been helpful. I think you putting it out into the world as something, as a contribution to the conversation in the world it's helped me.
I think that's helped other people. I hope it helps people. I mean, it's been helpful to me to hear other women's experiences that are also pretty open about it too. It was very helpful for me to hear, you know, what other women had gone through and how they dealt with it and reacted to it. And there's a couple people in particular who got many phone calls from me. So I think luckily there are people who are willing to talk to me about these things and work with me through that. And I hope that if and when this happens to other people that they will too.
Well, good.
Well, thank you for listening. I'm glad.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be able to get together and talk about this stuff. It's not like phone conversation as much as in-person and wine conversation.
Right. Exactly. So, if anyone needs someone to listen or talk to about miscarriage, I don't actually know that much about a full pregnancy, so I can't really help you with that. But hopefully soon.
To be continued.
To be continued. You will continue to know the saga of my uterus.
Well, are there any kind of resources or links or anything like that that were useful to you that you might want to post or share? Or?
I did the terrible thing of just Googling everything, and I don't necessarily know the resources that I looked at. But definitely don't just look at one. You should certainly look at multiples. when you're looking at that. And ask your doctor questions and ask your nurses questions. I think that's the thing I learned the most is
be your own advocate.
Be your own advocate, because if something's not right in your body, you know it's not right. And you need to say something and don't be shy about it, because it's your body and you need to take care of yourself. So,
hey, that's probably one of the best lessons to take away from this whole thing, that this could have been solved for you much earlier if
Absolutely.
The doctor had actually believed the person who owned the body knew what was going on.
Yes, exactly. And I think I also could have been more forceful. So I think that's a Both lesson to take true. Away. Both can be true at the same time. So I think definitely say something if you're feeling something and don't get pushed around by people.
Well, I think those are words to live by.
I think so too.
See you next time.
See you next time.